There is a sky behind the forest. There are seas unbounded, seething, waves made from the foam of dreams and churned by hands of light. Nazik al-Malaika, Revolt Against the Sun, translated by Emily Drumster. The cloud tasted of almonds. The tree I was looking at grew up grey-barked and straight for almost 30 metres until its trunk dissolved into the thick mist, and everything about it, slim emerald leaves, dead flaking twigs, mossy junctions between the leaves, was dripping with great drops of water that bent a thousand reflections into smooth curves. It was a tented world of cloud and moss and deep green. I knew, but couldn't see, that on the ridge to either side the laurel trees and the clouds continued, but if I walked just a little way down the mountain, the sky would clear, there'd be a hot sun in a blue sky. I would see the sea, be surrounded by cactus and spurge, and feel the baking heat. That alternate reality seemed a million miles away. It was February, and I was in the Canary Islands in the cloud forests of La Gomera. The Canary Islands sit off the coast of Africa, bathed by the desert winds off the Sahara and the trade winds coming northeast down from Europe. The island of La Gomera is one of the smallest, a little volcano that rises to 1,500 metres above sea level. Trees are cloud chasers, and cloud forests, known for their constant lingering mists, don't just exist in the Canaries. They're in Brazil and Costa Rica, China and Borneo, Australia and the Philippines. Cloud forests tend to occur in places where the landscape gathers water from the air, typically mountains next to the sea. But trees don't affect water only in cloud forests. All 3 trillion trees across the world have an effect on rainfall and water flows above and below them. In a sense, trees developed into trees to gain power over water. During photosynthesis, trees use packets of solar energy to split water into hydrogen and oxygen and transfer the electrons onto carbon dioxide so it can start to make sugars. This means they need large quantities of both air and water, mutually exclusive, unless you can operate vertically. In the earlier stages of their evolution as trees in waterlogged environments, upward growth raised green parts of the plants above the water and into the air, where it could photosynthesize, while in dry areas, vertical growth downwards allowed access to deeper water tables. Having started successfully, trees continued to evolve a tightly engineered anatomy to chase this advantage. The anatomy trees evolved is more tightly engineered than a human body is engineered, because rather than moving to avoid drought and flood, they must control their own environment in dynamic equilibrium. Above the ground, trees are rainmakers, growing tall to interrupt airflow with their leaves and trunks and branches, emitting volatile organic compounds like scents and alcohols to seed clouds, and releasing water vapour out of their stomata to cycle a gentle, consistent flow of moisture from the air. Below ground, their roots collect and redistribute water, ushering water down to the water table, lowering or raising the level of the water table to ensure they have just the right amount for their roots to be on stable ground. And in between, the tree can control and use the water within itself. Just as humans can reach up to pluck an apple, crunch hard to eat it, and bend down to plant the core, so trees use all these 3 capabilities to direct water across the earth. Cumulatively, the earth's trees sweepingly adjust global water flow. Trees of all 73,000 species are constantly making minute adjustments, but normally the resultant changes are subtle, deniable, and easy for humans to ignore, or, as in the Amazon rainforest, on a scale too enormous to be easily comprehended. I had gone to La Gomera because the dramatic change from desert to cloud forest is heightened by the extreme lengths to which the trees have gone, and continue to go, to maintain their clouds.